This is Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. With increased restrictions on movement and gatherings and the need to keep ourselves and others safe, it can feel really isolating, sometimes kind of scary and maybe a little overwhelming. But I don't know about you, but there have also been moments of really wonderful connection. Last weekend, I caught a little bit of singer-songwriter Myra Flynn's performance from her home in L.A. No Vermont performances in her future for a little while. She and I were childhood friends, so it felt a little like a connection to both the present and the past. Lots of you tell us you're watching live music performances. Some of you are doing live music performances. I've seen Vermonters talking about cooking together, where maybe the more experienced cook guides the less experienced chef through the making of a recipe via video chat. Kids I see doing ballet in their living rooms while watching their beloved teachers on a screen. Families chatting through sometimes closed windows so they don't get their vulnerable family members sick, but still needing that visual connection and that closeness that the proximity brings, maybe especially for family members who don't have the digital technology to connect. And let's start today with Trevor Barlow. Trevor is executive director of the Black River Innovation Campus, or BRIC, in Springfield. BRIC recently launched a series of virtual community chats spotlighting members of the local community. BRIC is a VPR underwriter. Trevor, thanks for being on the show with us.
Thank you for having me, Jane.
So tell me a little bit about these community chats.
Well, so my colleague Chris Majola and I were thinking of ways a couple weeks ago to help people focus on positive things happening and to emphasize great things that people are doing around us that we could figure out how to use digital tools to create community connection during this time of challenge. So we came up with this idea of hosting, to start, a weekly community chat where we'd have people come online and join us via Zoom, or they can be on their phone for those that have issues with internet connection. But essentially, we ask people to bring their expertise online and tell a story. For 15 minutes, just tell something that they're doing that's unique or that they're passionate about to help us not only maintain connection, but maybe surface some of the great things happening around people that they aren't aware of.
Have you been watching these? Can you tell us about a couple of them?
Sure. So the first week, we actually had someone who was involved in the early days of cryptocurrency.
I still don't understand cryptocurrency, Trevor.
Well, that's what made it so fascinating is they came on, gave us kind of a 15-minute overview of their experience and history in it. And then we have this Q&A where everyone online was able to ask and get their questions answered because it's a new thing and it's kind of a foreign thing for a lot of people. So it was great. And we had people join from as far away as Nebraska who had Vermont connections and had heard about it online. And then actually tonight at 7 p.m. we'll have a local Vermont guitar maker who also repairs guitars for people all over the world, a true artisan who's going to be telling his story about, just how he got into what he's doing, his passion, who he works with. He's in Cavendish, Vermont, and he's working with people all around the world, so it should be fascinating. And then going forward, we're going to have, craft distillers, other people doing these uniquely Vermont and artisanal things, but as well as people who just have great stories to tell that they're passionate about.
What happens after the live chat is over, and what happens, much after? Like, are people going to be able to watch these 6 months or 6 years from now?
Yeah, definitely. Our goal was to create a durable record and create a community resource because our guess was, which seems to be validated now, is that, a lot of these people are small business owners who are doing something, uniquely crafty and we wanted to record it. So one, they would have a resource, a digital record of their presentation and conversation, but also so we could create a library of all these amazing Vermont stories that hopefully will have durable value in the future.
If people want to get involved and maybe want to be doing one of these community chats, how should they get in touch with you? And who are you actually, what are you looking for? What are the parameters?
Like I said, the parameters are pretty simple. It's just something that someone has a passion about or an expertise and something they want to share with the community at large. and answer questions about. So we're pretty open to anything. Our website is brickvermont.org, so BRICVT.org. All of our contact info is there, and we just say send us an email, and we're happy to build it out. And we'll probably add more sessions now that we've got a lot of inbound requests from people wanting to tell their story and, frankly, be able to connect in a time of social isolation.
So they don't need to be in Springfield or near Springfield?
Not at all. We're doing it all via Zoom right now, so it's video storytelling online. But people can either do it video via their computer or just dial in on the phone as well. So there shouldn't be any kind of technology hurdles.
Well, while we have you on here, speaking of technology, I want to go to a call from Will, who's in Jacksonville, Vermont. Will, I really appreciate you hanging on the line here for quite a while because I wanted to make sure that we take your call because I think you have an interesting perspective. So tell us a little bit about what your situation is and what you're wondering about.
Okay, my situation is that I'm an elderly live-alone person, and I don't have a television, and I don't have internet access. So the question is, for us dinosaurs, is anybody making up-to-the-date technical detailed information available for us dinosaurs?
Well, we love you, dinosaurs. So what are you, so for example, here you and I are talking on the radio, so I assume you listen maybe to VPR on occasion. What are you not getting from us? The information that you can't get from radio news and newspapers that you're looking for?
Well, of course, I can't go out for newspapers.
Right.
The issue is that after the on-the-hour early morning news programs for commercial radio and the VPR to some extent, it's mostly entertainment that everybody else is doing. So it's not really up to the minute.
Mm-hmm. And so would you like something where there was like somebody calling you if there was news you needed to know or some way that you could just get that information provided
to
you?
Well, just like a telephone number. You know, is the state doing anything to make the necessary information available to people who don't have access to websites?
Yeah, I believe you can call, I think it's 211 to get state information, up-to-date state information. So keep that number in mind. If you dial 211, you should be able to access emergency information from the state. But Trevor Barlow, you know, you're talking about this Zoom technology, and people can use it on their phones, but so much of what we're hearing about and seeing about in the way that people are staying connected and staying informed requires technology, and not all Vermonters have it. What advice do you have for Will?
Well, I would say that, you know, without having a TV, I would see if you can call someone up and find out if you have a local resource. I know up in the North Country, there's Due North is a co-working space up there. There are resources around that are technically savvy that can maybe be a connection for you. I mean, ultimately, in these times, we're finding out that new technology is great, but some of the tried and true technologies of just picking up a phone and calling someone up and getting the most recent information is also a great thing to do. And it's something we definitely engage in. I always say that, you know, even though technology is great, it's always great to have a backup plan as well.
Yeah. Well, Trevor Barlow, Executive Director of the Black River Innovation Campus in Springfield, BRIC, thank you so much for talking with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jane. I appreciate it as well.
Elsie's calling in from Brattleboro. Hi, Elsie. What are you thinking about?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm the co-founder of the New England Center for Circus Arts, and we've had a lot of fun and challenges just trying to work with the mental health aspect of all of this that is connected to our students no longer being able to do the physical work that they're used to doing. So we've been doing online classes with our professional training program students and our youth troopers. But I wanted to share that starting on Monday, we're going to be offering online classes that anybody can take.
What can they learn in the online classes?
We can do flexibility classes. We've got some conditioning classes. We're going to have a class specifically for teens, which is sort of a combination of flexibility and conditioning. Also hand balancing. We have do-it-yourself home juggling practices. So pretty much anybody who never thought they might run away and join the circus can stay home and join the circus.
I want to learn the aerial ribbons. You don't have a class for me yet?
Well, if you have a home studio, then we can actually teach you, and we do virtual lessons with people all over the world. But it helps if you already have a home studio with the trapezes and the fabrics.
I do not have a home studio with trapezes and fabrics. That I'm going to have to work on that first. Elsie, thanks for telling us about the New England Center for Circus Arts and what you're doing. Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call, and thank you for everything you are doing.
Oh, you're welcome. Keith writes, I recently moved to Vermont about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, to take the position of executive director at Next Stage Arts Project in Putney. Since we've shuttered the doors to public programming, my team has shifted to making online content. Yesterday, we launched two series, Cooped Up Kids and The Quarantine Sessions, aimed at keeping our community engaged, entertained, and uplifted. We have local, national, and international artists contributing to both series. Everything will air on our YouTube channel live, and we'll push it out through social media. We're receiving very positive responses from our community, and this is our effort to help us stay connected. We're also asking for community members to become involved, send us videos, and be a part of the series. So again, that's Next Stage Arts Project in Putney, and their two series are Cooped Up Kids and The Quarantine Sessions. On the line with us now is Jen Rose Smith, who lives in Richmond and is coordinating volunteer efforts to deliver groceries to fellow residents in her area. Jen, so nice to talk with you.
Thanks for the coverage. Thanks for having me on.
So tell me a little bit about what you're doing, how you're trying to get connected with people who might need grocery deliveries or other things get to their homes.
Yes, so we're using Front Porch Forum to send out some Google forms that people can use to either sign up as volunteers or sign up to have groceries delivered to their house. And that's for people who are self-isolating for any reason, whether they have coronavirus, whether they're concerned about it, whether they just feel vulnerable and want to avoid the grocery store. So that service is available to everyone here.
How far out are you going? Is it just for people in Richmond or in the surrounding areas as well?
At the moment, this is just for people in Richmond, and that feels like a pretty manageable scale. But this is a thing that seems like it would be pretty easy to replicate in different towns.
How many people have taken you up on this offer?
So right now we have a ratio of about 90 volunteers to one grocery delivery request, which is really heartening that people are so helpful in Richmond. But I do expect that there will be more in the coming weeks.
That's a lot of people to deliver groceries to the one person who so far needs it. How do you make sure, I mean, just like logistically, how do you make sure you're getting the right things for the right people? Because I don't know about, you know, in your household, but in mine, some of the people in my household have very specific requests. And if the cheese sticks are not the right kind of cheese stick or they don't have the right color on them, they're not going to be eaten. You know, how do you make sure you're doing what people want in the grocery shopping?
So we're kind of figuring it out as we go along, but at the moment we're hoping to route people through the different grocery stores that do curbside pickup. So Healthy Living, Jericho Market, the Village Market in Waterbury, and Hannaford in Williston. There may be others in the area, but those are ones that I know of. Offer the service where people can order online and then the volunteer can just go pick up boxes or bags of groceries and bring them right to the person's house.
Mm, so they're essentially doing their own shopping. They're just not transporting it.
Exactly, yeah.
Anything else going on in Richmond that are trying to get people connected or making sure that people who are vulnerable have more than just their groceries taken care of, that they're sort of looked in on?
Yeah, absolutely. So Adam Wood, who's the town health officer in Richmond, is organizing wellness check-ins by phone. And that's kind of getting up and running. But the idea is that there would be the opportunity for someone to give a call, make sure that people are doing okay, that they might need anything, see if they're feeling okay, and just check in to make sure more vulnerable residents are looked after.
Jen Rose Smith is coordinating volunteer efforts to deliver groceries to fellow residents in Richmond. Jen, thank you so much for telling us about your program. I hope you get more volunteers to be able to deliver to more people as this progresses.
Thanks so much, Jane.
Let's go to Margaret, who's with us from Williston. Margaret, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you? What are you doing and feeling and needing?
Absolutely. I'm doing a twofold offering. I've started a Facebook group called The Empathy Project, T-H-E Empathy. And that's connecting people all over the world. We have people in Australia, Vermont, all across America, and allowing healers to connect with those who want a little bit of healing during this time. So we have some free affirmations, some wonderful art therapy projects, and I'm also offering free art therapy over the phone, over Zoom, over Skype, over Facebook, to anyone who needs it or wants it.
Oh, that sounds very cool. Margaret, thank you for telling us about it, and thank you for doing that work. Appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you very much.
Lee is on the line from Burlington. Lee, what about you? What are you up to?
Hi. I'm the owner of Radio Bean in Burlington. So, you know, we're a venue in Burlington and had kind of a large artistic community and stuff here, but I got this thing going where I'm promoting that everybody gets CB radios, like Citizens Band radios, and tunes into channel 22, and so we can communicate with each other as people lose access possibly to broadband, communication, and like, but they can't pay for their phone plans or their internet service, that we can still communicate within our community on CB radio channel 22.
CB radio channel 22. Are you already having chats? Who are you talking with?
Yeah. We did a big launch last Sunday at 2:22 p.m. and so we had a lot of people kind of driving around in their cars, checking the range of different radios and stuff. And then people have been chatting back and forth. You know, CB radios have about a 3 to 20 mile radius, depending on how big of a radio you got and topography. But so people are chatting back and forth. It's kind of like localized. Like right now, we have a lot of people in the Old North End of Burlington that are chatting and just trying to get it going so that we have access to each other, even if we don't have access to the internet. And it's cool. CB radios are anonymous, and CB radio stands again for Citizens Band. So it's doesn't require cell phone towers or satellites. It's just a land-based radio-to-radio communication system.
Well, Lee, thanks for telling us about it. I appreciate hearing that. And listeners, you know, if you've got a CB radio and you're in the Burlington area and want to join the chat, he said it's channel 22. And this is, you know, in the Burlington area now, but I imagine people could do this all over the place, and would love to hear from some truckers, as we do sometimes on Vermont Edition, about what kind of communications you're having as you travel, if you're traveling, if you're still on the road at all. Anne is calling from Bradford. Anne, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on. And the timing is good. The train just went by.
Oh, good. We missed the train, so we just got you.
Okay, on a more serious note, it's the coronavirus is going to take its toll on us personally. We're going to lose loved ones, or loved ones are going to be very sick, and that's already happening to me. I've got a daughter in another state that's pretty sick. I don't know if it's corona, because they don't have, but they think it is. But anyway, she's at home. But what we're needing is maybe in the future some way, maybe mental health people can get together and have something over the phone, maybe over the internet, easily accessible to where we could talk to somebody, like a crisis line or a support group or something, because we can't personally go there, you know.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry to hear about your daughter, and what an awful situation this must feel like for you to not be able to go and be with her.
Well, nobody can. We're all in the same boat. So we just pray to God, you know. And she's a believer. So, you know, if she dies, she'll be in a better place. I know that.
And what a tough situation to be in, even if so many of us are or will be there. And just know, Anne, that we're all thinking about you and sending strength to your daughter. Let's go to Nancy in Derby. Nancy, hi. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. Yes, this is Nancy. I am a driver, a delivery driver for the Kinney Drugs in Derby, Vermont. And we are still on the road. We are still delivering to our homebound customers. We have lots of people who are very old or do not drive anymore, cannot drive anymore, are too ill to drive. And so we have a program where we deliver to their homes, and we're still doing that. We have about doubled our home deliveries since all of this started to happen.
Well, that's great. Thank you for letting us know, Nancy. I appreciate hearing from you, and that as a local driver for Kinney Drugs, you are still delivering. Thanks for that. On the line with us now is Anna Rubin, Director of External Relations at the Fairbanks Museum in St. Johnsbury. And the museum's been connecting to the community through an online educational program, including virtual moments of Zen, which, boy, could I need. Anna, thank you very much for talking with us a little bit more about them. Nice to have you on the show.
Hi, Jane. Thanks so much for having me.
Tell me about the moments of Zen and how you're spotlighting some museum treasures.
Sure.
Well, this is a project that we've actually wanted to work on for a long time, so this seemed like the perfect opportunity to explore the museum through different eyes. So essentially what we're doing is some really quick recordings. They're about 30 seconds or 45 seconds long, and we've asked different people to tell us what their favorite object in the Fairbanks Museum is and why they like it and how they respond to it. And one of the things that we wanted to do was get different perspectives, so we have some young kids as well as some folks who are a little bit older just talking about what inspires them. And part of what I hope comes across is that our cultural institutions at this time when we're all shuttered and closed, they're still important to us. And maybe it's going back to connect with some of the comments earlier in your program about our wellness, our emotional support, and our sense of community. These are places where we've come to celebrate and to learn and to be together. And so these little moments of Zen are just a way to keep reminding people that museums and art centers exist, and we need you. And we're also happy to be part of bringing people a little moment of joy or relief.
Have people already done videos on the bugs? The bug art is like the most mind-blowing part of the museum's collection to me.
Well, then, Jane, we need to invite you over to do a moment of Zen, because that one has not been chosen yet.
You're kidding me.
No, it's like one of the things, just something that people come to see all the time. But so far, nobody has picked that as their moment to talk about. But we have had things like we had a really lovely boy talk about a wolf, and we had another young person mention the bears, and we've talked about some of the other things that are just, you know, treasures in the museum. And I know these types of comments could come from all over the place. We also, with the governor's order, we have a number of videos that are pre-recorded, but we'll probably be moving to more still photographs and objects that we have in place. We are also going to be doing a little bit of recording from our remote workspaces, and I want to mention that there are some staff members, including our Eye on the Sky team, who moved seamlessly from a museum-based office to home offices in order to keep producing really important information that we know gets shared through VPR. And it's just one of the services that we keep going.
Well, that's good to hear, too. And Anna, I really appreciate hearing more about what the museum is doing. I am going to look forward to somebody highlighting the bug art collection. Anna Rubin is Director of External Relations at the Fairbanks Museum in St. Johnsbury, where, as you just heard, ordinarily, of course, the Eye on the Sky guys are based. Anna, thank you very much for talking with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Let's go to Maggie calling in from Putney. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. I would just like to mention for those people who do have a Facebook account, there's a wonderful group on Facebook called How Can I Help? #prepare. And it's for all of Vermont. People post information. People post requests for information or requests for help. Some of the posts are local and some are statewide. For example, someone from Burlington posted the threat of COVID-19, why it matters to you, even if you're low risk. So it's called, again, How Can I Help? #prepare. Vermont-based, all are welcome.
And are you an admin for that group or just somebody who's watching and participating?
No, I'm not an admin, but it's very open. I don't even know who the admin is, but it's a very open group.
Good. Well, thanks for recommending that. I appreciate hearing that recommendation. Let's turn now to Zoe Keating, cellist, composer, and international performer who lives in Burlington and has been working on this idea of fostering a sense of community through sound in her own community. Zoe, nice to have you back on the show. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, Jane. Nice to be here.
So,
well, sort of here.
Yeah, sort of here, you know, as here as we're going to get to be for a while. And so, you know, we might as well find the ways to be the most here we can with one another. And you're doing this at 7 p.m., a making music or making noise kind of thing. Tell me about it.
Well, first of all, I am totally not responsible for starting it. Here in Burlington, there's this wonderful thing, I think it's elsewhere in Vermont, called the Front Porch Forum. Mm-hmm. And somebody in my neighborhood posted, hey, let's make some noise for healthcare workers at 8 p.m. And we did that. And then there was another message, hey, let's shift it to 7 p.m. That's better. and it's very, I think it started out as like a cheer for healthcare workers. And now I feel like we're doing it for them and for us just to kind of stay connected. We had some snow a couple days ago. So the first day, my son and I went outside with, he plays the violin and I play the cello. And we played a song together and then did some hooting and hollering. And then the next day we had the snow. So he went out with a frying pan and a spoon and I went out with a recorder. but I've heard, you know, there's somebody playing trumpet. Our neighbors played drums and somebody else playing violin and I could hear some yelling. And it feels so good to like, hey, I can't see you guys, but I know you're there. And it's really heartwarming. So I don't take credit for it, but I think, you know, we were probably inspired by Italy.
Yeah, you've probably seen the videos of people in some parts of Italy out on balconies playing music together. Zoe, is 7 p.m. So 7 p.m. isn't like a shift change at the hospital or anything. It was just, let's do this at this time. So it's more of a spiritual noise for healthcare workers than one that they might be hearing.
You know, I don't know if any of them are hearing it. I know that one doctor who lives sort of kitty-corny behind me, but I don't know if he's home. He's probably at the hospital. But, you know, it's just kind of support, cheer, neighborhood cheer. We're playing it for them and for us, for everybody.
I understand, did your last concert that you're going to be able to do at least for the foreseeable future in Atlanta at the beginning of March. What are you and what are you hearing from fellow artists and musicians who rely on income from live events? What are you doing?
Well, it's really hard. I've had all my concerts canceled for the next 3 months. And who knows what's going to happen in the fall. And that's true for every artist I know. So one thing that a lot of artists are doing is live streaming from home. I think there's been hundreds and hundreds of live streams over the last week. And what I would tell listeners is that, you know, here we are in our homes. I bet you're consuming a lot of entertainment, movies, TV shows, books, music. Think about the artists you're listening to and go check them out. Like, see, like, hey, are they having a live stream or have I bought an album from them on Bandcamp? I think that that's something that, you know, if people have the ability to do that, they could go help artists or listen to a live stream and donate in a tip jar kind of thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are doing live streams. Yeah.
Yeah. And those virtual tip jars, I mean, some artists I've seen are saying, here's my name on Venmo or here's another way to give to me that, you know, just to give a little bit to help keep everybody afloat.
Yep. It's sort of, you know, people who are in the music industry have practically no safety net. Any little thing makes a difference, really. So that's one thing I know a lot of musicians are doing. I'm kind of, for me, I'm in full childcare mode, flailing at homeschooling like a lot of other parents. So I just feel like I don't have the bandwidth to do a live stream yet. But at some point, maybe I will, and my son will be my tech assistant.
that's cool. That's, you know, learning a tech skill is a definite skill that you need to learn. In the meantime, where do you want people to find you if they want to hear your music?
ZoeKeating.com. It's all up there. I sell my music through this thing called Bandcamp on my website. That's a great place to go.
Well, Zoe, thank you for telling us about what you're doing and, you know, what you're thinking about all of the artists and musicians who are really struggling, but especially how you're just trying to make something that feels good at 7 p.m. in Burlington every evening with some of your neighbors and with your son.
Yeah, and thank you to the neighbor who posted the idea. So,
thank you, a yet-to-be-named neighbor. That's Zoe Keating. And by the way, our digital producer, Elodie Reed, has posted a video of Burlington neighbors banging their pots together on Tuesday evening and is requesting listeners submit videos of pot banging in their neighborhoods. Presumably, even if you're not banging a pot, if you're making some other kind of really beautiful noise, you're welcome to submit that as well. You can submit your noise-making video at share@vpr.net. So email that to share@vpr.net. We got a note from Anna in Cavendish who says, I need toilet paper. We did not hoard and now we're running out. I'm trying newspaper, but it would be nice to be supplied. Our local supermarket has no idea when they will be resupplied. help. All right. So any of you in Cavendish, what can you do? Can you help out Anna with a couple of roles? We have Anna's email address. So if you get in touch with us, we can forward your information to her if you have some toilet paper to spare. And I know that in some communities, some restaurants in Bristol, the Bobcat Cafe has been saying, come and get takeout from us. And if you need some toilet paper, let us know. We've got some. So there may be some businesses or restaurants in the area in Cavendish. Maybe you're listening now and you're not in business, so you've got some TP, even if it's not very good TP, that you could help Anna out with. Send us a note if you're near Cavendish and can help with toilet paper. Leo in Essex Junction is referring to a caller we heard from earlier in the hour, Will, who's feeling isolated. And Leo says, you know, you're without internet and TV. Maybe it wouldn't take too much for him to get a TV and antenna. No monthly fee for channels over the air, and TVs have come way down in price in recent years. I'm sure someone could donate, deliver one to him. I forget which town he's in. I could even potentially help him out myself. So, you know, if you're listening, Will, and you think that might be an option for you, you can give us a call back and we can see what we can do to connect you with people who might help. And we know that in some cases, people are providing internet service for free or connecting people to the internet for free. So if it's something that you want but haven't had the ability to do, that may be an option. On the line with us now is Ryan Christensen, president and head distiller at Caledonia Spirits, the maker of Bar Hill Gin, and now Bar Hill Hand Sanitizer. Hi, Ryan. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
So you're calling this new form of your business the Gift of Clean Hands Initiative. How did it come about that you decided to move over to making hand sanitizer?
It's been quite a overwhelming 7 days for our business and our community, I think everybody out there. But, you know, what's happened is essentially we realized that our team was facing a really tough business challenge ahead. All restaurants all around the world, for good reason, because we have to stop this virus from spreading. But those are our customers. And we decided that, hey, we make high-proof alcohol. Let's first just hold a team meeting, just a workshop, and we can all build our own hand sanitizer and talk about sort of the challenges that are ahead and how we're going to handle those challenges. But we did that, and it was great. And suddenly people from the community said, hey, we need hand sanitizer too. And the outreach was just pretty overwhelming. And then the FDA and the TTB and the World Health Organization all kind of aligned quickly, which almost never happened to see those organizations move on anything quickly. And they started changing the rules so we could actually do this and send it out to the public in a compliant way. So we really kind of hit it and said, I think not only can we do this, I think we have to do this because there are people out there on the front lines of this virus that don't have hand sanitizer. And that seems like a really scary situation to be in. So the Gift of Clean Hands is a really creative way for us to pivot our business. One of the challenges that we face is that we're a small company and we don't have endless resources. And for us to buy all of these things like glycerin, you know, hydrogen peroxide, for example, you know, these are things that we just don't buy in a commercial level and we don't want to buy them. And then, you know, somebody might not need hand sanitizer again. We don't want to, you know, ruin our core business by these ingredients. So, the Gift of Clean Hands allows us to do things. One is people are pre-buying hand sanitizer, but they're not buying it for themselves. They're buying it for the people that need it most, which is the healthcare professionals. But what it does for us, it also lets us know how much of a demand is out there because we're buying these ingredients as fast as we possibly can. But the overwhelming support for folks that are willing to buy a jar of hand sanitizer for a healthcare professional has really given us, you know, the business confidence to go out there and buy as much glycerin as we can possibly find.
Let me stop you there, Ryan, because your phone line is breaking up a little bit, but I want to highlight what you just said. So this initiative, you're making the hand sanitizer, and some distilleries are also doing this. Some are selling hand sanitizer. Some are giving it away to the public if they bring their own bottles. In your case, what you're trying to do is get the hand sanitizer into the hands of people who need it. So I think you donated maybe to the food shelf and now to people in public health who will need it. And so you're actually asking people, members of the public, to buy bottles, but not for themselves, to buy them for health professionals. Is that how you're doing it?
That's absolutely right. We did donate some bottles initially, and then we realized the demand was incredible. So we have a plan to make 20,000 gallons of hand sanitizer, and that's enough to produce, you know, 10 million hand washings, you know, so in a state of 650,000 people. That could actually have an impact. I want to make sure we have the biggest impact with the folks that are closest to this virus. So we will hopefully have enough to sell to the public as well. But initially, you know, we're producing 2,000 gallons this week, and that's going to go to first responders and UVM Health Network. So we're getting it to hospitals and to the first responders first.
That's pretty cool. And so listeners, if you want to get involved in that project, we'll put a link up at vpr.org. It's called the Gift of Clean Hands Initiative through Caledonia Spirits, the makers of Bar Hill Gin. Ryan Christensen is president and head distiller. Ryan, thank you very much for talking with us about what you're doing. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for the conversation.
We're talking about fostering connection and finding ways to feel involved with one another. James Lockridge is executive director of Big Heavy World in Burlington, which is connecting the community to music by broadcasting live streamed performances on the radio. Jim is the husband of VPR's director of operations, Victoria St. John. Jim, nice to talk with you. What are you doing at Big Heavy World?
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, we're trying to keep people connected with the, you know, good old fashioned tiny little radio station. We operate as a community radio station, and we're community supported. So it's, you know, it's sort of normal for us to want to be useful. And we're reaching out to artists who are live streaming on the different social media platforms and offering to carry their live streams on our station, which broadcasts in downtown Burlington. And streams as well. So we're just amplifying, you know, our Vermont musician neighbors and extending that invitation to theater and poets as well.
So theater performers, poets, you're going to basically host their performances so people can sort of find them through you virtually, not in person?
Right. When we started facing the social distancing protocols, we offered our studio for artists to step into to stream if they didn't have the ability to stream for themselves. And of course, the world is changing so fast, and we've changed gears along with it. And now we're finding the streams online and rebroadcasting them. So artists are streaming from their homes, and we're carrying the audio from those streams on the radio station.
Wow, that's very cool. Yeah, so big changes coming then with the governor's order, the ability to, you know, have people into a studio space no longer available to you, I take it.
Right.
That's James Lockridge, executive director of Big Heavy World in Burlington. We will put a link up to Big Heavy World so you can see all kinds of performances, not just music. We'll put that at vpr.org. Jim, thanks for talking with us.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right, let's talk with another caller here, Linda, with us from Stowe. Hi, Linda. Go right ahead.
My idea for a way to pass the time and also feel like you're maybe helping is to, and help yourself too, is clean out your closets and everything in your whole house and organize your stuff and make your boxes of things that you could donate to the charity of your choice. And if the places you'd like to donate aren't open because of they're not supposed to be right now, you'll have things ready to go when the time is right.
Are you doing that?
Yes.
Are you a professional organizer, or is this what you're just doing to pass the time?
No, just for myself, just for my own self, yes.
What have you gotten rid of or decided to donate or, you know, rearranged?
I have some household goods so far, like some kitchen utensils and some clothes so far. Still working on it.
Yeah, and what are you going to do once your whole house is organized?
I'm not sure. some things for Goodwill or some religious charities or whatever.
Yeah. Well, thanks for letting us know.
People could also donate. They don't want to carry stuff somewhere. They might be able to list things they'd like to donate on Craigslist or Front Porch Forum.
Yeah. Well, Linda, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate hearing from you.
Okay. One way to pass the time.
Yeah, one way to pass the time. We had a caller named Chris who was on the line from St. Johnsbury, I believe, who was wondering about where to access free Wi-Fi. And we don't have Chris on the line anymore. But Chris, I want to let you know, I'm pulling up a map here of public Wi-Fi in Vermont. You can find it through the Vermont Public Service Department website, if you have a way to get the internet. And there's a whole series of links throughout the state of how you can find the public internet. A green link is totally public. A yellow requires a password. And then there's black for maybe there's possible internet. I'm looking at St. Johnsbury. There are a couple of options downtown, including what looks like the St. Johnsbury Athenaeum, which has free Wi-Fi. And so some of these places, you can access the free Wi-Fi from going right outside the building. So for you, if you're in St. Johnsbury and that's what you're looking for, I would look maybe at the Athenaeum, see if you can park up next to there to get some free Wi-Fi for yourself. And for listeners who need to know about this, you can find the public hotspot map at the state website for the Department of Public Service. So that's one way to make sure that you can get access to the internet, even if it's not always the most convenient way to do it. Let's go to Lindsay Armstrong now. Lindsay is the owner of Embodied, a yoga studio in Montpelier, who's been offering virtual yoga classes, not only to continue the business, but I understand it, Lindsay, also to maintain a sense of community.
Yes. Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me. Yes, I mean, of course, there's the hope that we will all continue with our livelihood, the teachers here. But I think the main motivation for all of us is to just continue, yes, with community and offer our student practitioners as well as us as teachers or guides the opportunity to connect. And it's really sweet to see one another's faces on this crazy format. And it just, I think as we move deeper into the layers of what this virus is going to expose for us, that these practices, specifically yoga, and not just the asana, not just the postures, but all the layers, all the stages, I think that these practices are going to be essential, or some grounding source of connection is going to be essential as we continue to move and, see how much strength and resolve and the ability to grieve that we probably are all going to be forced to expand within ourselves.
Hmm. So how are you doing it? You're offering your regular drop-in classes. You're having those online. And then I understand you're also starting up a free kids and family meditation class.
Yes. Today, it's actually happening right now, or actually probably ended about a half an hour ago. But today was the first day of that. And Amy LePage, one of our wonderful teacher guides, is offering that. And then as we continue, it's been, as for everybody, obviously, just this crazy turn of the switch. And it took a lot just to get to the place where we're at. But as things sort of calm and settle, I know that I would love to offer some more free by donation offerings that help to support.
Well, I look forward to seeing more. That's Lindsay Armstrong, owner of Embodied. It's a yoga studio in Montpelier. And again, we'll put a link up at vpr.org for how people can access the virtual yoga classes and kids and family meditation. Lindsay, good luck and thanks.
Thank you so much.
Carrie is calling in from Williamstown. Hi, Carrie. What are you thinking about and offering and looking for? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. I just wanted to let people know that they have an alternative to the supermarket. A lot of local farmers markets are trying desperately to stay open so that we can provide our neighbors with fresh local organic food. So the Montpelier Farmers Market is going to be open this weekend and every other Saturday, hopefully. But it's unlike the supermarkets, we are limiting the number of people that can come into the market at a time. Our vendors are wearing gloves. We have hand washing stations and sanitizer. We are enforcing social distancing. So it's just an opportunity for those that would rather not go to a supermarket. It's a chance for them to get outside and in the fresh open air have a chance to buy local organic food.
Well, Carrie, thanks for that reminder. Good to hear about what's happening with the farmers markets. And thanks and good luck to you. Nicholas is calling in from Richmond. Nicholas, we have like 10 seconds, but I wanted to get your call in. What are you offering and what do you have for advice for people?
Code for BTV is one of two Code for America Brigades in Vermont. And the Code for America Brigades, codeforbtv.org, codeforuv.org are touch points for technologists and business people that want to apply skills in project management, UX, and user design and programming and development to better solve these problems that we're facing. So we can help direct people to existing projects and other people that need help and that want to build
Awesome.
To solve this together.
Nicholas, that's awesome. So look for Code for BTV if you want to get started helping with those projects. Nicholas, thank you very much. Lots more people sharing thoughts. We don't have time for all of them, but we'll come back to this over the days. And we're still working on other programs for you, including how to cope with stress and anxiety. Today's show is directed by James Stewart. Our production team includes managing producer Lydia Brown and producers Matthew Smith and Emily Aiken. We had production assistance from Kelly DeLaurier. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.